Let's talk about the surface estate. Again, the surface estate encompasses much more than just the surface of the property. I'm sure everyone here knows this, but there are many attorneys and laymen who think that a severance of the mineral estate affects a horizontal severance somehow, that the mineral owner actually owns all the subsurface formations. That's not true. The surface owner continues to own all subsurface rock formations and groundwater, both fresh and saline. Again, the mineral owner just owns the molecules of oil and gas. Everything else is owned by the surface owner. So the surface owner is the proper party to grant things like injection wells and subsurface gas storage agreements and subsurface easements. Now, some of these things might be subsumed into the implied easement, but if you're trying to get one of these things where there's no lease or it's benefiting off-lease property, you have to go to the surface owner. The mineral estate, again, can be severed into its own fee simple estate. And again, this can be severed for each mineral. So you can have an oil estate, a gas estate, granite estate, uranium estate. All these things can exist concurrently in the same piece of property, and each of them will have their own implied easement to use the surface estate. So in theory, you could have dozens or more of operators in the same piece of property. Again, you can further subdivide this by depth, and we're not even talking about co-tenancy, but you can have multiple co-tenants in there. So this can get very confusing very quickly. And again, each mineral estate is composed of the quote-unquote five attributes. I put an asterisk by that because that's not exactly true. The executive right and the development right are correlative. You cannot convey one without conveying the other. And really, the delay rental right is kind of gone these days. You still see it in legacy leases, but you don't really run into the delay rental right these days. Each of these sticks can be then broken up and conveyed separately. So you can see there is a lot of different estates and mix and matches you can create with all this. And again, they all have rights to use the surface, which becomes a problem. And this is why, this is what we're talking about, or one of the important points here, is that the mineral estate has an implied easement under the development right to use as much of the surface estate as is reasonably necessary to develop and produce minerals. This includes groundwater. No payment is required. There's no obligation to remove equipment. You know, Texas is kind of unique. We are one of the only state, basically, in the country that's oil and gas productive that does not have a statutory Surface Damages Act. Now, we have tried to get one passed. When I say we, I mean basically the landowner lobby. But every time a hint of that gets out, the energy lobby comes up in force. So maybe one day. So the mineral estate is dominant and the surface estate is servient. That's from easement law. That just means that the mineral estate has the right to do things with the surface estate. As everyone here knows, mineral development can be surface intensive. Horizontal development has helped things a bit, and we're getting more efficient in what we do. But again, it can conflict with the surface owner's use. Let's talk about the groundwater estate briefly. You guys like to throw in pictures here to break things up. The groundwater estate, like the mineral estate, can be severed into its own fee simple estate. It also carries an implied right to use the surface estate. So the groundwater estate is another dominant estate over the surface estate. And this really happened in the last 10 years. I mean, from the Day case to the Coyote Lake case, this has been recent developments here. And again, all these cases have been incorporating oil and gas law into groundwater law. And, you know, the question is still kind of open as to how far that's going to go. Are we going to see the five attributes of the mineral estate ported over to groundwater? Probably not. And again, the reason why is because those five attributes are based on the fact that the landowner cannot self-develop easily the oil and gas estate, and so leasing has always been kind of hand-in-hand with the ownership attributes. That is not the same with groundwater. Groundwater can be developed by the surface owner relatively easily, so I don't think you're going to see the five attributes all go over or everything go over, but I do think at least the executive right and the duty there will go over to groundwater. I've already seen the executive right attempted to be severed from groundwater estates and non-executive groundwater interests, so I think at least that will come over. And we get into all the various lesser estates that you can create in any of the severable estates. You have leases, you know, surface leases, hunting, grazing, ag leases. You have solar leases and wind leases. They're not exactly the same as your traditional lease, but they are granted by the surface owner, and they include a lot of easements and restrictions in there. You have your defeasible and determinable fees, the most famous of which is the oil and gas lease, and some mining leases follow the same standard. You have your various term interests, your term mineral and royalty interest, term for years, your life estates, and then your various non-possessory interests, such as easements, talking about pipeline easements, as well as the easements granted in your wind and solar leases, and conservation easements, which are becoming more and more prevalent today, which have their own issues with split estates. And then you have your non-participatory royalty interests, which burden the mineral estate, and you know the executive's duty comes into play there. We'll touch on that briefly if we can. And again, we're not even getting into co-tenancy here. There's a lot of issues that arise from co-tenancy that is beyond the scope of this. So now that we've kind of overviewed that very quickly, let's talk about some of the conflicts that occur, you know, between these states.